Okay, brethren, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. I remember seeing mountains for the first time. We were on a trip with my parents, and I remember driving along, and I saw I saw them in a distance, you know, but then as we got close, I saw the base of these giant mountains, and you just looked up, and they just went up out of sight into the clouds. That's Christ our rock. He has come down, a mighty mountain, a rock, to the dust of this earth, and He's accomplished that which is required, that He requires, that which He requires of His people. And He's ascended to the Father. He's gone to the right hand of God, where He sits. And all glory and all dominion is to the God of all grace by Jesus Christ forever and ever. In all ages, it always has been, it always will be. All the praise and all the dominion, all the power and all the glory. As Isaiah went forth and he was preaching this word about how the Lord would conquer all his enemies for his people, how the Lord would call out his sheep from the four corners of the earth, he said, sing a new song. And I can't go further without going back to this one little phrase that caught my attention in Isaiah 42:11. He said this, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. You see that little phrase there in Isaiah 42:11? I titled this message, Inhabitants of the Rock. Here's what we need to get, what we need to be settled on, what we need to hear and rest in. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock in whom His children inhabit, in whom His children dwell. We were put there by the divine electing grace of God the Father before the world began. We were in Christ the rock, dwelling in Him when He walked this earth and established the law and went to the cross and laid down His life and justified His people from all their sin. Every one of His people, every one of His children, every one of you who here now that believe on Him were put in Him. In Him, in this rock of God, when the Spirit of God came and quickened us and made us alive, we're in Him. And we'll be in Him when there is nothing else. In Christ the rock. His children are inhabitants of the rock. There's coming a day when there won't be anything here. Look down at Isaiah 43:10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Before anything was made, there was God. And after everything is gone in this life, there's going to be God. And His people have been abiding in Christ the rock from before the world began. And that's where they'll always be, and not one will be lost. I want to show you three things here, and we're just going to go over to Exodus and jump around a little bit tonight. I usually just stick in one verse, but I want to show you, first of all, it's in Christ the rock that we behold His glory, the glory of God. The second thing is, it's in Christ the rock that the inhabitants stand in one sure, immovable foundation. Can't be moved out of this foundation. And then thirdly, that it's in Christ the rock that we find our rest and our refreshing as we journey through this wilderness. Here's the first thing. We behold the glory of God in Christ the rock. In the rock is where God's children behold His glory. The scriptures. I want to show you this in Jeremiah 49. Jeremiah 49. This is our problem by nature. Jeremiah 49:16. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, plural, in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill, thou that shouldest make thy nest as high, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as the eagle, I'll bring thee down from hence, saith the Lord. That's our problem by nature. We dwell in a lot of clefts. We have a lot of hiding places that we try to hide in. And it's because of the terribleness, the a deception of the heart and of our pride that's deceived us. There's absolutely no way a child of God's going to be left hiding in some false refuge. God's going to bring His children down. He said, though thou makest thy nest upon high, I'll bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. But this is what He does by His regenerating power. Look over at Exodus 33. And we'll be over in Exodus for quite a bit here, so hold your place in Exodus. This is what He did when He called us by His grace. He took us out of all our hiding places and He put us in one cleft of the rock, Christ the rock. And He showed us His glory, God's glory in Christ the rock. Exodus 33, look at verse 14. Moses was speaking here, and Moses said, God said to Moses, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And He said unto him, Moses did, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. Remember what we saw in Isaiah 43? He said, since thou wast precious in my sight. We've got to make sure we understand which direction that's coming from. That's coming from God's sight looking at us. Nothing in us. He said, because thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He said, I beseech thee, Moses said, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And he says, I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, You can't see my face, Moses. There shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me. There is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. You know what Paul said? He said, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Christ Jesus. Where are we going to see God's glory? We're going to see God's glory in the cleft of the rock. Look, read on here. And he says, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I'll cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I'll take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And the Lord said unto Moses, and he told him here to hew out some tables of stone, like those that law he broke, and bring that up to the mount with him. Because all the law of God, every bit of the law that we broke, is fulfilled one place. It's fulfilled in Christ Jesus. That's the only place. And look down at verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. You know where he is? He's in the rock. He's in the cleft of the rock. We're talking about inhabitants of the rock, those who dwell in the rock. He put Moses in that rock, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. That's who Christ is. He's God, our Savior. He's Jehovah. He's one, God in the highest come down. The Lord God, covenant God, the Lord God, God of covenant mercy, merciful and gracious. Where's the mercy and grace of God seen? It's seen in Christ. He sent forth His Son in mercy to do for His people what His people couldn't do for themselves. That's His grace is seen in Christ. Long-suffering. Why didn't He destroy this world when He made it, when Adam fell in the garden? Because He put His people in Christ. His long-suffering. He suffers long with His people. He's going to bring every one of His people into this rock in the experience of grace. He's going to make us behold Christ. Everyone. Abundant. Abundant. How abundant. Oh, abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty. God will not sweep our sin under the rug. He won't put it behind His back unless a just sacrifice has been made. Unless satisfaction's been made. Because He's holy. And His justice has got to be satisfied. And this is where we see it satisfied. In Christ Jesus. Everybody Christ died for, He justified. Everybody that our Savior laid down His life for, He put their sin away. He purged their sin. He obtained eternal redemption. And we behold it when God puts us in this rock. And He says, look down at verse 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth, and he worshiped the Lord. You know what the text says? It says, sing a new song, O you inhabitants of the rock. You know what we sing? You know what we sing? You know, when we sing, when we gather here to sing, that's as much a part of the worship of God as when you hear a sermon preached. And you hear God's glory set forth in the message that's preached. It's just as much a part of worship, singing praise unto Him. And you know what we sing when He calls us by His grace? When He puts us in that rock and makes us to behold the glory of God in Christ the rock? We sing, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry and thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love. And covers me there with His hand. That's what He did with Moses. We sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. This is the cleft He's put me in. Christ my Lord, let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy wounded side which flowed. I love this right here. Be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. You know what we need? We need to be saved from the wrath of God and we need to be made pure. And you know where that double cure is? It's in the rock of ages. Christ our Lord. That's where we see His glory. In the rock. Oh, ye inhabitants of the rock, sing. Sing. That's the first thing. That's where we're going to see His glory. Here's the second thing. When the Spirit of God makes this grace effectual in our hearts, when He comes to us in saving grace and He makes this a reality in the heart of His people, when He does this, He plants us immovably in Christ. And we can't be moved out of Him. We can't be moved. He's our foundation. We're in this foundation, settled in this foundation. Isaiah, hold your place there in Exodus, and let me read this to you. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Let's start verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. And this is why Christ came. This is why he had to come, because of when he gave a law through Moses, we scorned one another. We scorned with that law and reproached the name of the living God and ruled with a yoke over one another. He said, verse 15, in doing so, because you've said we've made a covenant with death and with hell are we at agreement. That's what we thought we'd done by trying to come to God in the law. He says, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. That's what we said in our sin and our rebellion. We made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. There is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid. That doesn't mean we lay, that doesn't mean that we are building something else of our own making on this foundation. It means Christ is the foundation. He is the sure foundation. There is no other foundation than can be that can be laid than that which is laid. And that foundation is Christ. He's the sure stone. He's the precious stone. He's the stone on which the whole house is built. The house that he's built. What do we see there in Ephesians? You're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He's the sure foundation. He's the all our foundation. Scripture says you're complete in him. Those who he's put in Christ are complete in him. We're not making lies our refuge anymore. We make the truth our refuge. He's our refuge. Christ the truth, who satisfied justice, satisfied righteousness, who is the wisdom of God, who is the redemption accomplished for his people. We don't build anything on there. We don't add anything of our making to this foundation. When he makes this life in our soul, we're settled in this foundation. Look over at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Why is it a unregenerate sinner doesn't stop trying to establish a righteousness and of their own making? Why is it that an unregenerate sinner is ever trying to establish and lay a foundation of their own making? Here's why. 1 Peter 2:7. They don't believe the very word of God. Christ is the word, and he said, it is finished. Look at 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. The Lord said, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone. He that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But he that believeth not, but is disobedient to the word of God. God doesn't tell us to keep working. He didn't tell us to keep working trying to come up to God little by little by the work of our hands. He tells us to rest in this foundation. To rest in him. And that's what the belief. When he works this work of grace in our heart, we rest in him. We are settled in this stone. And he says, and sing, O ye inhabitants of the rock. And what do we sing? When he's put us in that sure foundation, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith. Where? In his excellent word. What do we need? Listen to this. What more can he say than to you he hath said, Right here. What more can he say than to you he hath said? Right here in his word, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. What more can he say? It is finished. What more can he say? It is finished. What more can he say? Ye are complete in him. What more can he say than to you he hath said? Those who don't rest, we saw the hurricane come, and that hurricane was a, what was it? It was a F1, I think, on the scale that came through here. And that, it had some force to it. If a F5 comes through, I believe I'm going to be looking for some higher ground. That was, but we see the tsunamis, and we see the hurricanes, and we see the tornadoes, and we see the all these different acts of God in this earth. And he's communicating to us in a way that we can sort of kind of perceive that his wrath is something we don't want to face. His wrath and his anger is something you and I don't want to, we don't want to come into God's presence trusting in our own anything at all. And you think when we saw all those reports and all that was coming about. Now, what did you honestly think when you would see these reports of people that just stayed on the coast and said, I hear the report, but I'm just going to stay here. You thought, how foolish. Why stay there? Why stay there? That's foolishness. This word that is being preached, this is the word that says, why look to anything wherein we try to take refuge? Anything. Why are you looking and I looking to anything wherein we would try to take refuge? That's foolishness. That's foolishness. You know what the Lord said in Matthew 7:24? He said this, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That'd be utter foolishness. There's no other foundation. This is what the new song, this is what the inhabitants of the rock sing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. His blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. That's a good song. Every verse, when darkness veils his lovely face, I'm going to look to myself then. When it all seems dark and it seems like I can't see his face anymore, he put the darkness there. Why? To make us rest on his unchanging grace. It's unchanging grace. It is grace that does not change. In every high and stormy gale, I have an anchor. It's Christ Jesus. And he's in the veil. The forerunner has entered in for us. And he's there. He's entered. He's gone ahead. He's there. And by God's grace, I'm there in him. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground sinking sand. It's all sinking sand. We trust in our word. We trust in his oath. His promise. We trust in our word. We trust in his covenant. We trust in our word. We trust in his blood. Where are we resting? We trust in We trust in some kind of righteousness that we've accomplished, or we want to stand faultless in Him, robed in His righteousness. All other ground sink in sand. This is what the inhabitants of the rock sing. In Christ the solid rock I stand. Here's the third thing. Everybody who's inhabitants of Christ the rock, those that He's put there by His sovereign electing grace, those who He's revealed His, put in that cleft of the rock and made us to behold His glory by His Holy Spirit. Everybody He's put there, inhabitants of the rock, we find all our rest and all our refreshing in that rock only. All of our rest and all of our refreshing, all of our supply is in that rock. Look at Exodus 17 and look at verse 6. We've been called to bear witness of Christ. Being called and given eyes to see Him and ears to hear Him and hearts to believe Him, we're witnesses of Him without doing anything. Because nobody can do this except by His grace. Nobody can believe on Him except by His grace. But we're called on to bear witness of Him. And as we bear witness of Him, we're going through a wilderness. An absolute, complete wilderness. And when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, they began to murmur in that wilderness. You know something about murmuring? We don't ever realize murmuring's murmuring. Unbelief never realizes unbelief is unbelief. We never do. It's just a word meant to sort of criticize God's workmanship. It's a word meant to criticize somebody that's God's workmanship. Or just to... But you know, all that ever does is put a burden on our fellow brethren. It puts a burden on our brethren. They were walking through that wilderness and they were saying, can God furnish a table for us in this wilderness? Can God provide water for us in this wilderness? Look at Exodus 17. Let's start in verse 1. All the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. That same rod that opened that Red Sea, wherein I delivered my people across that sea on dry ground. Take that rod in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. You know what Apostle Paul said, who the Apostle Paul said that rock was? That rock is Christ. God Almighty took His Son, and with His rod of justice, He smote His Son in my room instead. God Almighty took His Son, and He smote His Son in your room instead, Scott. And smiting His Son in our room instead, He brought forth life for His people. He brought forth eternal life in righteousness for His people. And our Lord Jesus Christ is that water of life. He is that water whereby God provides water in the wilderness for His people, refreshing for His people. Because He smote this rock, He won't smite His people. He won't pour out His wrath on His people. He's going to give His people water. He's going to give His people refreshing, and He is that refreshing. That woman at the well, she sat there, and the Lord said to her, if you knew who the gift of God, and you knew who it was speaking to you, He said, you'd ask of Him, and He'd give you living water. Living water. He said, the beast of the field shall honor me. The beast of the field, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Paul said, let's not tempt the Lord like they did in the wilderness. Flee from idolatry. That's what murmuring is. It's idolatry. It's what unbelief is. It's idolatry. And flee to Him who is the river of life. We got to go through this world, and we got one responsibility. Hold up Christ before anybody and everybody who will listen. That's the one thing we're given to do in this world, is hold up Christ. Hold Him up. And we get tired, we get weary, and we don't have any strength in ourselves. How are we going to strengthen one another? How are we going to... Paul said, beloved, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, and the word there really is, although he be overtaken in a fault. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of meekness. How are we going to restore one another? Look at there at Exodus 17. Look down there in verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. You see, there's one trial after another that the Lord gave them as they went through the wilderness. Here comes Amalek right after that. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. That's the gospel. That's what we're supposed to hold up, is Christ Jesus, this gospel. He said, you go, I'll go up on top of this hill and I'll just hold up the rod of God. That same rod that smote the rock out of which came the water. And Joshua, picture of Christ, did as Moses had said to him. And he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. Oh, isn't that so? Isn't that so? When I see Christ, all is settled and I'm at rest. How about you? When we see Christ, is your heart settled? You know when our hearts are not settled? When we're not settled on Christ. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. He was weary. He was tired. Why? Because Moses didn't have any strength in himself. I don't have any strength in myself. You don't have any strength in yourself. His hands were heavy. So they went up there and they took a stone and they laid it on his shoulders to try to weigh down his hands and make it a bigger burden for him. That's not what they did. You know what they did? They took a stone and they put it under him. Oh, inhabitants of the rock, who you reckon that stone's a picture of? How are we going to restore one another? Take Christ, this rock, and set it under him. And they held up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua, Christ our Lord, conquered Amalek, conquered the enemy. How are we going to comfort one another? How are we going to edify one another? How are we going to strengthen one another when our hands are heavy? We're going to set each other on the rock. We're going to set each other on Christ the rock. We're going to, Paul said, sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What did the Lord say? O ye inhabitants of the rock, sing. Sing to one another. Sing this glorious, blessed good news to one another. And Christ will do the work. I believe he will. I believe God will do the work. You know, there's 1,000 little decisions to be made. There's 1,000 little things that have to be decided upon. If we prefer the honor of another before ourselves, if we prefer that in all the gifts, you don't have anything, we don't have anything we had been given. Nothing. If any man speak, let him do as the oracles of God. Again, given everything to speak right here. If any man minister, you know what that word means? Anything that we do that is serving somebody else with expense to our time, our resources, ourselves, anything at all, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Why? That God in all things through Christ Jesus might be glorified, to whom is the praise and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. All the praise is going to be his, and the dominion's his. So we can just strengthen one another by setting each other on the rock, on the rock, on the rock. It won't comfort anybody to come to them and tell them that everything you've ever done is worthless. That won't comfort them. That won't help them. That won't strengthen them. To come to them and tell them everything you've done so far is worthless. They said of John the Baptist, the Lord said that he came and he preached the gospel to you. He said, this is a hard man. We can't hear this man. And he said, and I came eating and drinking, and you said, a wine bibber and a gluttonous man. He said, we pipe to you and you won't dance. We mourn and you won't cry. There's only one way a believer is going to be satisfied. Only the ones who will be satisfied are believers. That God sets on this rock, and there will be satisfied and rest and find strength. This is what he says too. All the judgment, everything that's coming about, everything that's happened on this earth right now is happening for the good of his people that he set right here in this earth to declare his name. Every bit of it. There's things that happens in this earth that we see and we think, how in the world is God going to get good to his name out of this? And we may never understand it and may never comprehend it. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we don't have to understand it. We don't have to understand how he's doing it. We just trust he's doing it. He's doing it. And this is what he says to me and you. Let's look back now at Isaiah 26, verse 20. He tells us this in the midst of all of it. This is what he says to his people. Isaiah 26, 20. See, the judgment's been accomplished in his son for his people. And so while all the storms and the wrath of God is coming upon this world, and people are being tossed to and fro and wondering how we're gonna make it. How are we gonna make it? This is what he says, Isaiah 26:20. We talk about inhabitants, those who dwell in the rock. He says in Isaiah 26:20, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Come into the rock. Come into your hiding place and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpast." You see, our rock, our refuge is Christ. Look back there at Isaiah 8. I want you to remember this. Isaiah 8 and 9. "Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all of ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces." He says it twice. "Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught." "Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us." God's with us. You know who he's talking to? He's telling this whole world, "There's no use in coming up against my people. There's no use in you joining forces, this whole world joining forces against my people, taking counsel together against my people. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary." He shall be for the refuge. He shall be the stone in which you cannot be moved. What are we saying? This is an old song I found that I like. Listen to this. "Great rock, for weary travelers made. When storms of sin infest the soul, here let me rest my weary head. When lightnings blaze and thunders roll, within the cleft of his dear side, there all his saints in safety dwell. And what from our Lord Jesus Christ shall divide, not all the rage of earth and hell." That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying to his people. God says in mercy what he says to those who try to find refuge elsewhere. He says in mercy to his child of grace what he says mockingly to people who put their trust somewhere else. He says, "Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty." Because of God's own word, because of God's own glory, because of God's own righteousness, because of God's own holiness, for the sake of his precious Son, Christ our rock, we have this promise. Every inhabitant of the rock has this promise. "He that believeth shall never be moved." Amen.